they do. They heard him as he cried, "I thirst." They heard the words of Jesus as he surrendered his sweet mother into the care of his loving disciple John. They heard him as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forgotten me?" They heard him say, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." They heard the triumphant cry at the end, "It is finished." They'd never forget the sounds. Their nostrils were still filled with the stench of the day, the fear, the anger, all that was there, the dust, the decay, the acrid smell of flowing blood. They never got that out of their minds. They lived with that all through Friday. They lived with that all through Saturday. They got up with that on their mind on Sunday morning. They remembered Joseph as he pled before the Sanhedrin, and then he took that battered body off of the cross and took the purchased linen and laid it out, and Nicodemus brought the spices, and they began to roll the battered body of their hopes and their dreams into that linen, and they wrapped him according to the customs and the culture. And then they took that body and carried it to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, rushing because the dusk was coming and Sabbath would begin, and it all had to be over in just a moment of time. There was little time for weeping. There was little time to mourn the loss of Jesus. Their minds were filled with these things. As they took the napkin and placed it over his face, they rolled that heavy stone until it would thud into the depression that was made for it, and finally the tomb was sealed, and then they had to rush away back to their homes to celebrate the Sabbath, as it were. A heavy Sabbath. And their minds were filled with these things. The women got up early that Sunday morning. The Bible said before the sun came up. It was still dark outside. They began to make their way down to the tomb where they knew the body of Jesus lay. They had some spices and some things to bring, and maybe it would be a little more leisurely now that Sabbath was past. Maybe they could truly grieve him now. They came to the tomb, discussing on the way, "How shall we remove the stone?" And when they arrived on the scene, suddenly the earth began to quake, and perhaps they were shaken almost to the ground. And when they arrived on the scene, the Bible said that the stone was rolled away, and there was a gaping mouth of an open tomb, and there were angels sitting there. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He's alive. He's alive forevermore." And Friday suddenly passed from their memory, and the joy of the present consumed them. It was too great to get their mind around. It was more than they could have hoped for. They rushed back into the city and they told the disciples, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!" But the Bible said that the disciples didn't believe them. Kind of like some of us. It was just too good to be true. They didn't believe them. "Oh, it's just a bunch of women. You're so excited. You're beside yourself." And they didn't believe. Well, Mary Magdalene stayed on. She just stayed there. She was in no rush. And the Bible says after everybody left, she was there at the tomb alone, and she heard what the angel said. You know what I find so interesting here? I've known people that saw angels, and they're all so excited because they saw an angel. And it's a great story. But Mary saw angels and she was not impressed. She didn't go there to see angels. She went there to see Jesus. And when you want to see Jesus, angels just won't do. So she just sat there, and suddenly a voice. Any other time she would instantly have recognized. It sounded a little familiar, but it couldn't penetrate the fog of her despair. Simple voice said, "Mary." And she, the Bible said, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "If you've taken him away, just tell me. I'll go and get him." And suddenly, he said it again. He said, "Mary." And the Bible said, she recognized him. And she cried out, "Rabboni, Master, Teacher." And since she began to fall at his feet and worship him. And he said, "Now Mary," he said, "I want you to go and tell my disciples that I really am alive." Amen. And then suddenly he was gone. She turned, and as fast as her feet would carry her, she rushed back to the place where the disciples were. She ran into that place. And her face was glowing with excitement, and her heart was overflowing with joy and with faith. And she said, "He's alive! I saw the Lord!" Oh, I don't think they believed. But Peter and John at least were moved. The Bible says they ran down to where the tomb was. John was a little younger, maybe a little lighter. He stopped at the outside. Peter rushed in. All he saw was grave clothes. He went over and felt, and they were empty. They were lying limp, without a form. And then he looked over and he saw something that got his attention. He saw the napkin that covered his face. It wasn't just laying there, but it had been carefully folded and set aside. As if Jesus were saying, "I'm coming back." Hallelujah. And they came out of the tomb still not totally convinced, but there was that glimmer of hope that began to rise on the inside. John wrote it this way in his gospel. He said, we had not yet remembered that he said on the third day he was going to rise. He said, but they went back, and there was a little bit of hope springing up and a little joy that wanted to bubble up, and they didn't understand. Well, now it was evening. The day was quickly flying away. I got a feeling that Mary was having a good day. And the women were having a good day. But the disciples hadn't quite got it yet. They were just a little slower to latch on. Amen. But they had a good reason, because they hadn't seen Jesus yet. Amen. And the Bible says that in the evening they were gathered together, and suddenly Jesus appeared unto them. Amen. John chapter 20. It said Jesus appeared unto them. And in the 20th verse it said, "And then were the disciples glad." Then were the disciples glad. Amen. And I'm going to tell you today, it's time to get glad. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said it's time to get glad. They had lived through Friday. And Friday had and forever would mark their lives. But I'm telling you, Friday's over now. Friday's past now. It's Sunday. Hallelujah. And Sunday's not a day of weeping, but it's a day of rejoicing. Amen. Just as surely as Friday brought tears, Sunday ought to bring joy and excitement and gladness and rejoicing. Amen. So Jesus appears to them, and suddenly they were glad. Amen. I never knew really what joy was until I met Jesus Christ. I knew what happiness was. I've been happy every birthday and Christmas. So I knew what happiness was. But I didn't know what joy was. There's a difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is because of something that happens to you. Happiness is getting a new car. And that lasts until the first payment. And you look at that thing and you say, 60 more to go. Or you buy a new house and you're excited until you look and it says, 360 more to go. And you can't get too happy about that. Amen. That's happiness. But when Jesus came, He brought joy. The Bible said that the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and joy. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost is righteousness and peace and joy. And so joy is an element of the Holy Ghost, and it's something, it's akin to happiness, but it's eternal, and it never dies. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. But joy is ever present. You know, you get up in the morning and your mind's on Friday, but joy thinks it's Sunday. Amen. And you get up and you're feeling a little grumpy, but down somewhere it's kind of rumbling around saying, I'm getting ready to come out now. Amen. And after a while, you'll find yourself humming or whistling or singing or clapping or whatever it is you do. Because that's joy. And you can't keep it down. It just begins to bubble up on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember riding with my elderly pastor, and we'd be riding along and just enjoying one another and the fellowship, and all of a sudden I'd hear him over there and he'd be saying, thank you, Jesus. He wasn't talking to me. We'd ride along a little while and he'd say, praise the Lord. We'd ride a little while and he'd say, hallelujah. Amen. You know what that was? That was joy. And that's about as excited as he got. Amen. But it was good enough. Amen. I knew it was there. And it was real. Thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It was Friday, but Sunday had come. And when Jesus came, everything was all right. Oh, they'd gone through some stuff. I'm telling you, Friday was tough. It was a day that their dreams, they thought, died. It was a day that their future looked like it was bleak and the sun would never shine again. They were there. It was horrible. It sunk their spirits to a depth that they had never been. They had put all of their hopes and all of their dreams in the hand of this man, and suddenly he was dead. And their dreams died with him. But suddenly, here he is. He's standing there. The Bible said he showed them his hands and his feet. Why did he do that? He wanted them to see, hey, you see these nails right here? This is me. See where that spear went in my side? This is me. Have you ever, we've all used that expression, it's too good to be true. And that's how they felt. So he was trying to communicate reality to them. And once they latched onto that, that's when the joy came. I said, that's when the joy came. You see, You have heard about Jesus, and you may know about Jesus, but until He becomes a reality to you, that's when the joy comes. Amen. It's not enough the hearing. It's not enough somebody to tell you. It's not enough for somebody else to get excited about it. You've got to experience Him for yourself. But when you know, when you feel the hands and the nail prints and you see the riven side, then you understand. And when it really dawns on you, this is real. This is real. This is real. And you experience that for yourself. Praise God. You've got to experience that for yourself. It's not enough for me to tell you. You've got to experience that for yourself. Amen. There He stood. And they were glad. But Jesus never appears for entertainment's sake. And He didn't just come just for their sake. He was like my dad, you know. He always was giving me something to do. My dad wanted to make sure I wasn't bored. He was always giving me something to do. You never in my household, you never said I'm bored, because he always had something for you to do. So if you felt that, you sure didn't say it. Amen. Because there was always weeds to be mowed and hoed and pulled. There was always, if nothing else, he'd dig a hole and fill it back up again. He's going to keep you busy. Man. And so the Lord of all things, well, after he showed Himself to them, He gave them something to do. God understands something about ourselves that we may not understand. You are happiest when you're busy and accomplishing something that's worthwhile. Yes. Amen. You are, because you were created that way. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, I just want to get to the place when I retire, I don't want to do anything. And you'll be miserable and you'll die early. Because God didn't make you to sit around and do nothing. God made you to do things, to accomplish things. And you have in you a desire to achieve and a desire to accomplish. And only when you accomplish things do you have that sense of fulfillment and worth that's so vital to human beings. So God, He gave them something to do. Right after He revealed Himself and they got glad, He said, now I want you to do something with your gladness. Amen. Acts 2:38 is right here. If you want to look at it, look at verse number 21. He said, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. In other words, he said, it's not enough. We're not going to sit around here and build tabernacles. We're going to get out and get to work. Amen. My Father sent me to work. I'm going to send you to work. He sent me to ministry. I'm sending you into ministry. And let me tell you something. When you get glad, you want to go do ministry. Amen. When you don't get glad, you want to sit around and be in misery. Amen. So you choose ministry or misery. That's two choices. As for me, I choose ministry. Amen. And so Jesus, He said, I want you to go. And then verse number 22, the Bible said, He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now that was a command. Amen. They didn't receive it at that moment. That was a prophetic utterance. We know when it came because Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1 tells us that it came on the day of Pentecost. And then He also said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's baptism. How are people's sins remitted? According to the book of Acts, sins are remitted by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So He said, I want you, first of all, He said, I'm going to send you. You receive the Holy Ghost. And then you go out and you baptize folks and remit their sins. Amen. So they had a mission. Praise God. Let me tell you something. If you want to be happy, get in the mission. Work on the mission. Be about the Father's business. Hallelujah. And that will keep you glad. Hallelujah. Whoop! I might just preach a little bit here, if that'd be all right. You know, the most miserable people that I know are people that just sit at home waiting for people to come take care of them. Nobody ever comes visit me. Nobody ever calls me. They never think about going visiting somebody or calling somebody. Hello? I say we got a mission, folks. Jesus, what did He say? He said, I didn't come to serve or to be served. I came to serve. And we're no greater than our master. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. You want to be miserable? Sit around and think about yourself. You want to be happy? Get out and bless somebody else. Brother Grissom, that's good preaching, man. I sure do like that. Woo! You're telling me the truth today. Amen. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Have you ever had the money grubbed and sit down and had a pity party? Guess what? Jesus didn't come. He never attends pity party, ever. But the devil never misses one. Amen. You want to invite the devil to your house, you have a pity party. I promise you, he'll show up and he will nearly tear your arm off to pat you on the back and tell you how bad you have it and how rough life is and how much you don't matter and how much nobody cares. You want to get depressed? He'll just keep pushing you down deeper. That's it, buddy. You're having a hard life. Ain't nobody ever had it as bad as you. Yes, sir. He never misses a pity party. But on the other hand, if you want to get glad, hallelujah. Amen. You get out of your pity party. And you say, I know so-and-so needs this and they need that. I think I'll call and encourage somebody. I think I'll call and just see how so-and-so's doing. Think I'll bake a batch of cookies and take them to my neighbor. I think you just get to thinking about other people and what you can do to help somebody and how you can bless somebody. And I'll tell you what, you'll find out when you're baking cookies that all of a sudden that joy will start bubbling up again. Hallelujah. And you just can't keep it down because you're getting outside and you're involved in ministry and you're helping somebody else. Amen. Every time you get outside of you, God begins to bless. It's time to get glad, folks. I said it's time to get glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if I ought to get into all this or not. I've got to hurry and finish this up. Amen. But I just want to say this today. Do you know how to get rid of a critical spirit? You know, sometimes you can come to church with a critical spirit. You can. They had it in Jesus' time. And it still comes to church in Athens, Texas every now and then. You know, I've seen people come to church and God forbid, but I have. I've heard it. I've heard people say things bad about people that were at church and criticize and say, I know about them. And they start criticizing. Do you know what will get rid of that? You bring somebody to church. Because when you bring somebody to church, you don't want anybody talking about yours. Huh? Somebody prays through at the altar and God gives them the Holy Ghost and some old critical spirit jumps on a person and they start saying, oh, they're not any good. I know where they came from. I know their past. Start saying all kinds of bad stuff. You go win one. You go bring one. You teach a Bible study. You get somebody in the altar. You pray them through to the Holy Ghost. And then you see how you like when people criticize. It'll get rid of your old critical spirit. Yeah, amen. When we get involved in soul winning, you know what I've noticed? Have you ever been in a house that didn't have any children? Everything's about the husband and the wife, right? All about us. Amen. Who do you spend your money on? Spend it on us. Where do you go? You do what you want to do. But you bring a child into that mix. You bring a baby into that household and things change. You bring twins into that home and it doubly changes. You get some triplets in there and you really got to change. The more children you bring into the mix, the less they have time to even think about themselves. And suddenly, all of those thoughts that are about me and myself and I and making me happy, all of a sudden, you're so busy taking care of the little one and your thoughts are on the little one and your thoughts are on the future rather than yourself. Amen. That's the value, folks. You see, churches that don't have new souls become ingrown. They suffer from a syndrome called ingrownitis eyeballitis. That means ingrown eyeballs. All they can see is themselves. Ingrownitis eyeballitis. So, you ever get that? There's a cure for it, and that's to get outside yourself. Amen. Jesus gave them the great message when He said this. When they got to the tomb, He said, "Come and see." And then He said, "Go and tell." That's the message right there. Come and see, and then go and tell. It's all right. You come see Jesus. You come find Jesus. You get glad. You get the joy. And then you go tell about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, folks, it's time to get glad. Let's stand together. It's not Friday anymore. I said, it's not Friday anymore. Amen. If there's a cross hanging on the wall, it's empty. He's not on there. He's not in a tomb. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's not in a manger either. One of our missionaries went to a church, one time famous church, somewhere over in Europe. She walked around the church and she saw Jesus over here and He's a baby in Mary's arms. And she sees Jesus through the stages and went through it. And she sees Jesus hanging on the cross. Everywhere she looked, Jesus was in either weak or in trouble. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you today, He's not in trouble. He's not Mary's baby anymore. Amen. He's not carrying a cross anymore. He's not hanging on a cross anymore. That was Friday. Friday's past. Sunday has come. Resurrection has happened. Amen. He's not in a tomb. He's alive. And He reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto Him. Amen. Hey, it's time to get glad today, folks. I said it's time to get glad. If you came here with Friday's shadows hanging off of you, it's time to shake it loose and get glad. Amen. Because it's Sunday now. Amen. He's resurrected. He's alive. And He's here. I said He's here. Amen. He's in this house. He's in this place. You can know Him for yourself. Amen. Praise God. Anybody today, you've been living on Friday. Your mind is still filled with the sights and the sounds and the smells and the memories of defeat. You can taste defeat. You can hear it ringing in your ears. Everywhere you look, you see it. I'm telling you today, it's time to look away from your troubles. Look away from Friday. Turn your eyes upon the resurrected Savior. It's Sunday. Amen. And He is alive. And He's alive forevermore. Amen. The dynamic of death that happened on Friday was so much overcome by the joy of resurrection on that Sunday morning. Amen. You need to experience resurrection today. The joy of knowing the living Christ. Amen. I invite you today, there's an altar. If you need to make some peace with God, you want to know Him in a measure that you have not known Him, amen, I invite you to come. I promise He will meet with you here. Amen. Amen. He will come. He will come. If you come in faith and come in humility, come in sincerity, seeking the Lord, you'll find Him today. And you will leave here glad. Amen. Just like the disciples. Praise God. You'll leave with purpose. Amen. You'll leave with joy. You'll leave with a fulfillment in your life that you cannot find anyplace else or in anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He's here right now. Amen.